Hello and welcome to Hub Highlights. My name is Charlotte Tarsi and I'm the program manager for the Plymouth County Hub, a South Shore grant-funded program overseen by PARI, the Police Assisted Addiction and Recovery Initiative. Each episode, the Hub highlights the services provided by a community provider that attends our Hingham area Hub meetings. Today's program will focus on Father Bill's and Mainspring. Today I have with me Taylor DeSanti from Father Bill's and Mainspring. It's nice to see you here in person.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We've been working together for a while, so it's nice to finally get to be here and talk about what Father Bill's does and the programs that are offered. So do you want to just start off with a little introduction and tell me about what you do at Father Bill's and the programs that are offered?
Yeah, sure. So Taylor DeSanti, I've been with Father Bill's in Mainspring for 5 years now. Currently the triage director, started my career as the rehousing manager at Father Bill's place in Quincy, but now I transitioned into the triage department. So the triage department is something that has been new for the agency. It's created about a year ago, which really is something that we've been trying to move towards, but really came out of the pandemic. So my previous role was kind of what we think of the back door of shelter services, trying to exit people out of the shelter, rapid rehousing, getting them into permanent housing. The triage department really is the front door of the shelter. So how do we prevent people from becoming homeless? How do people start to come to us before they feel like they're in a housing crisis? Previously, still, we are seeing people who come to us when they have run out of other options. So we're really trying to get upstream, trying to connect with people before they start to become homeless and when they start to become in a housing crisis. So my team works with people on diversion. So how do we divert someone? If they're coming into shelter tonight, can we mediate a conversation with their family to have them stay with their family? And then we'll try to work on getting them into their own housing. If they have a Section 8 or some sort of subsidy and they just need help with upfront moving costs, we can assist with that. And then we also, for folks who aren't in the shelter but they're living outside in places not meant for human habitation, we work with those folks as well, either trying to get them right from the street into housing. If they want to come into shelter, you know, then they'll transition to our shelter team. But we're really trying to think outside of the box, work with people the best that we can to make sure that they're getting the services that they deserve.
And that's, really interesting to hear about Father Bill's, because when I think of Father Bill's in Mainspring, having grown up in Plymouth County, I think of the shelter in Brockton, I think of the shelter in Quincy. And so I didn't realize before we started working together that this diversion, the outreach that you do, the tenancy preservation, all of that is part of Father Bill's as well. Maybe you can talk a little bit about like some of the services that you offer in like the Hingham and Norwell area.
Yeah, so Hingham and Norwell, they're in our service area. And so if there's anyone in those towns that are experiencing homelessness, living outside, our team will go right to them to meet with them. If the person does not feel comfortable with that, they can come to us. We can meet somewhere in the public, whatever they feel comfortable with. And so we will try to see how we can, if we're really person-centered, so we'll ask the person what they want. And then we'll go from there. So if they're not ready for housing yet, that's okay. We'll try to build that rapport with them, let them know that it's a safe space, that we're really just there to try to assist them in whatever they need and whatever the services that they're trying to get. And then we also have permanent supportive housing in the Hingham area. So folks who were previously homeless are now living in housing that they can stay in as long as they want, as long as they need. And then we have case managers who are working with them in those areas as well. And of course, if they want to come into shelter, they're certainly more than welcome to come into shelter. And then they would work with our case managers, our rehousing case managers in the shelter, whether it be they want help with getting into a career, helping build their resume, whatever gets them close to housing. So the goal is always housing, but we also know that there's little steps that folks may need assistance with in order to get them to that, to those housing goals. So we will work on all those little things we're really trying to get the folks to self-sufficiency.
That's really great. I don't think I realized that you also help with unemployment. And how do we find a way for people to have a sustainable income, a way that they can stay in the home that you help to rehouse them into? And that's really great. And I know that at the Hub, we've definitely noticed an uptick in housing. It's approximately 55% of the situations that come to the Hub are experiencing some sort of difficulty with housing, whether it be behind in the rent, facing eviction, or just being homeless, living on the streets. And you mentioned trying to catch them upstream. So when you talk about diversion, what is that diversion program do, and when is it a good time for people to reach out and say, I need help, mm-hmm. so before I'm not housed anymore?
Right. So we have diversion specialists that will work with folks, and it really is like, what can we do to ensure that you're not going to end up experiencing homelessness? So if it's they need help with arrears, we can do a certain amount of arrears. It really is a case-by-case scenario that the team will say, hey, this is what just came up. How do we best attack this? So we really work as a team to see how we can best support that individual. And then if we need, like you mentioned, our TPP team, so the tenancy preservation team, we have folks that are in housing court where people are facing eviction. So if they are already in a housing court, we have staff that are there that can help mediate between the landlord and the tenant to see, hey, can we keep this person in their unit? So in order for the TPP team to get involved, the tenancy has to be preservable. It's kind of in the title. But if the landlord and the tenant, they want to work together and the person wants to stay there, they can come up with a payment plan, right? So like, okay, I'm going to pay this amount. And then there are sometimes we have funds that can help pay someone's rent or pay their arrears so that they don't have to do it alone, but they're contributing some of their money towards it as well. But if the unit is not preservable, so like say the tenant doesn't want to stay there, or the landlord says, you know what, I'm selling this unit or I'm selling the building, they really can't stay here anymore, we will try, that's where our diversion team comes in, because the TPP said, okay, we can't preserve it, so they switch it over to our team with the diversion. And so diversion tries to step in and they say, okay, you can't stay here, what is your income look like? They help them budget, do budget plans, what can you afford? As you mentioned, a lot of the things that we're seeing in the Hub are people within housing crisis. And as we all know how expensive it is to live in Massachusetts, never mind the South Shore. And so our folks that are in the South Shore are seeing these increasing rents and they're not sure what to do. And they don't want to leave because it's what they know. It's where their family is. It's where their friends are. It's where all their services are. It's where they feel safe. So we try to make sure that we can keep them in that area the best that we can. Sometimes we do have to look outside of the area to where the person can afford. But if they do have a voucher, it gives them a little bit of wiggle room. If they don't have a voucher and they can afford market rate rent, we'll try to work on those units that they can afford. Now, we do unfortunately see some folks who lost their job and they have no income and they're looking for a new job. But in the meantime, they need to show to a landlord that they have some sort of income. So if the unit's not preservable and the team can't divert the person, we do offer them shelter. And so then they can come into shelter and then still work on those things to try to get them into housing.
So how is Father Bills in Mainspring funded?
So we are funded through the state and federal. And then we also have a development team that publicly and privately raises funds as well.
So are there any fees associated with the services that you provide at Father Bills in Mainspring?
There are no fees. Our services are free, and we encourage people to use them, you know, as much as they need. We are in the process of building a housing resource center in Quincy, right across the street from Father Bills at 39 Broad Street. So it's going to be a brand new building, also with 30 units of permanent supportive housing behind it. So we are really, that's the whole model of the upstream. So the Housing Resource Center will be day services so that people can come in during the day, meet with a diversion specialist if they need to, meet with an outreach worker if they need to, or if they need shelter and we can't divert them, you know, we'll be there. But we're very excited about this. It's a brand new model that we've been talking about for years, and now it's finally almost here. The springtime is the expected date. And then I will be overseeing the HRC.
That's exciting.
Yeah, we're very excited about it.
Awesome. So how would somebody access your services? How do they come in the door? Is there a phone call that they can make? Is there a website?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of all the above. So we do have a website, helpfbms.org. So people can go right on there. They can see all of our services. There's several phone numbers on there. So Father Bill's place in Quincy's on there, Mainspring House and Brockton's on there. Those tend to be where we see the bulk of the phone calls come into the two shelters. But we also have an administrative office in Brockton where calls come into, and then they kind of will filter it out to the necessary teams. But really, someone can walk into the shelters. They can say that they need help with A, B, C, D, and the people at the shelters will connect them with the right folks. People reach out directly to me, and I'm more than happy to filter it to my team. So people email me, they call me, more than happy to share my contact information to get it to the teams. And we try to be as responsive as we can because all the things that we see are crises. And so we know it's very time sensitive, and we want to get to people as quickly as we can.
Yeah, and it's really amazing what I've seen Father Bill's do over the past year. Taylor, I email you at least once a week. Hey, this situation came up. Can you help? It's just really helpful to know that there's a person, you know, that's so knowledgeable, and I know you and your team, not just you, but there's other people at Father Bill's that do an amazing job as well. And you're very responsive, and you get people out there that can help an individual as quickly as you can.
Yeah, well, thank you, because that's our goal. You know, we always say we're not the type of agency when someone calls or reaches out to us, oh, that's not us, sorry. If that's not us, we'll figure out who it is. And so we'll try to point you in the right direction.
So do you have opportunities for volunteers at Father Bill's?
Yes, we do. We're very excited to get volunteers back. You know, throughout the pandemic, unfortunately, we had to not have volunteers just for the safety of the guests, the safety of the volunteers, everyone. But we love our volunteers. They do so much for us. We have a whole page on our website at helpfbms.org that talks about our volunteer services and what people can sign up to do. So the big ones that people know about for our shelters, our individual shelters, are like making bag lunches for the guests. They also will come to the shelters and they'll serve community meals to the guests that are in the shelters. And then they also will help with the intake process. So that 4:30 to 6 time when everyone's coming in, we have some volunteers who help check in, which is a huge, huge help for us because it's our busiest time. As you can imagine, we have 100 people coming in between 4:30 and 6. And so having volunteers who are talking to the guests during that time, because the check-in process really is the time where you can speak one-on-one to like all the guests and get to know them. And so we had a lot of key volunteers who loved coming in that 4:30 to 6 time. So we are happy to have them back. And then we also have like larger groups where people will come and they'll do some landscaping at the shelters or even our housing. So we also have family shelters and housing for our families. And so we have a family shelter in Stoughton and a family shelter in Middleborough. And then we have scattered sites throughout the South Shore as well for families. But in order to receive family services, you have to go through the DHCD system if you're a family experiencing homelessness. So we get our referrals from DHCD. Sometimes people think that we can refer to DHCD, but unfortunately, we can't. If a family comes to us, we will do our best to, you know, get them the services that they need in the moment. But it's right now, it's still the DHCD has a phone number that they can call for families. But yes, we love our volunteers, and we're very excited to work with them again.
I'm thinking about my kids are grown now, but I remember them making the sun butter and jelly sandwiches back in second grade, and it was such a great experience for them. And it's nice to hear that that's something that people can do if they want to organize something like that, or even just come into the shelter and help.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And we have people who on a regular basis will donate items to us, so clothing, food, but all the clothing, we always tell folks the clothing and food all has to be, you know, new. Just because of things coming into the shelter, we want to make sure it's safe. So we have people on a regular basis donating things to us, which is always a huge help as well.
For those of us that don't know what the DHCD is, can you tell us a little bit about that, just so if people are watching and they have questions about that?
Yeah, so DHCD is Department of Housing and Community Development. So they oversee all family shelter services. And so it's whereas like Father Bill's in Mainspring, we oversee our individual shelter. We have those the family shelters, but DHCD oversees those more closely. DHCD, you know, overall oversees our shelter as well. But the family process is different than an individual process. And so the DHCD family shelter process is at the Department of Transitional Assistance buildings. So folks used to be able to walk into the DTA. I think they are starting to be able to now. Don't quote me on that. But they still are saying call the number to if you are a family experiencing homelessness or in a housing crisis, and then they will direct you where to go. Because any family in Massachusetts, you can get placed anywhere in family shelter throughout the state.
Do you feel that there's been an increase in people coming in to ask for help since the eviction moratorium ended?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. And I think the pandemic obviously, you know, caused a lot of folks to become homeless and need services. And then for us during the pandemic, we had to depopulate our shelter. Had 150, 170 people in the shelters, pretty much all on top of each other. And so there's a little bit of silver lining with the pandemic because it really opened up people's eyes to kind of like the warehouse model of shelters, which is like we've been saying for years now that it's not sustainable. And so the HRC is getting us closer to where, you know, that model of let's get it upstream. Let's see how we can really prevent homelessness instead of, you know, the warehouse model of get everyone in the shelter and then let's try to work on it. So there's that little silver lining where we can't go back, right? So we can't go back to people being on top of each other and just getting in as many people as we can. Of course, we will do what we need to do to shelter those that need it, especially during severe weather. We will do our best to make sure that people are socially distant and safe. And that, you know, if people are feeling sick, we take the necessary steps to make sure that they're taken care of and isolated and not spreading it to the rest of the shelter. And since we depopulated, we saw our numbers in COVID really go down. And so we were fortunate enough that we were able to depopulate and keep people safe.
Great. So I know you cover this area of the South Shore. How big is the catchment area that any, you know, like what towns can access Father Bill's in Mainspring?
So for shelter, anyone can access shelter. We don't have a specific catchment area for those services. Funding tends to be a little different because our funding, the grants that we receive, say a certain area. So if someone calls us and say they're from a different outside of the South Shore, we try to get them to those services in those areas, say like Boston, Fall River, Taunton, New Bedford. We'll try to refer them to the services in their area. However, the idea is like if they're going to end up in our shelter or if they're going to end up on the street in our areas, like we're going to try to do our best to make sure that that doesn't happen. And so we'll either connect them directly with those services in the area or we'll do a case by case scenario and say like, okay, you know, this person is from this town, but they're actually sleeping outside in Brockton or Hingham, so or Norwell. So let's work with them because, you know, they are in our area. But yeah, we do not have anyone can come into shelter if they need it.
Great. Yeah. I think that wraps up the questions I had for you, Taylor. Do you have anything else that you wanted to share about Father Bills?
I think just that if people, you know, are hesitant about shelter, please reach out to us. We give tours to folks. We can show you around the shelter. We can have you meet with the staff and have them talk to you about what it's like to be in the shelter, what our rules are, because we do have to have rules put in place to make sure that that's our number one. I think I've been saying safety, talking about safety a lot, but that's our number one goal, is to make sure that everyone feels safe, everyone is safe. So we do have protocols in place. But, you know, we welcome people to come in and talk to us, and we'll even meet you out in the community. We'll meet you where you're at, but just encourage you to reach out for services so that we can try to work together as a team.
Thank you for coming today, Taylor. It was nice to talk with you.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Hub Highlights is here to put a spotlight on the great resources available to community members. If you would like to learn more about the Hub, please check out our website at www.plymouthcountyhub.com. You can reach the Hub through the contact tab there or by calling 508-296-0743. Please note that the Plymouth County Hub does not provide services, and if you are in crisis or need help immediately, you should contact your local emergency services provider or 911. Thank you, and we wish you well.